our scripture, which will be taken from the final chapter of Philippians. If you remember, we have been on a journey this fall through the seven vital signs of a congregation that is healthy and vibrant and alive. And so today we actually come to the very last of the seven signs, and it is called healthy systems. Now that might kind of sound like an odd vital sign. But if you think about what a system is a group of interlocking and interconnected and integrated parts that work together to form a unified whole. You can think of the systems of the body, right? Your digestive system, your respiratory system, your skeletal system. But there are also systems that are not tangible. There are emotional systems, like a family, right, is an emotional system. There are relational systems. And so when we talk about a church having healthy systems, yes, we're talking about the finances and the governing boards, but we are also talking about congregations that are healthy in their emotional life as a body. They're healthy in the way they relate to one another, the idea being that they work together rather than against one another or apart from one another. They work together to make a unified whole. And what we're going to see as we look at Philippians 4 is that Paul has come to the end of the letter, and now he is just going to load the Philippians up with guidance about how to be healthy emotionally, relationally, so that they serve together as a united congregation, promoting and sharing the gospel. So listen now. You have, I think, a text in your bulletin, a little sheet that had the text on it, and you're going to need that in a second. Or you may read along on the screen. But before we read the scripture and reflect on it together, we always begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these ancient words that speak to us today as a congregation, as a church of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that your Spirit will help us go back 2,000 years and imagine ourselves in this little congregation in Philippi, gathered around to listen to the letter from the Apostle Paul. By your Spirit, give us the joy they would have experienced in hearing from him, the attention they would have given to his words to them. And by your Spirit, help us, just as you helped them, to take what Paul writes and apply it to our lives, not first as individuals, but as a congregation together. Come now, Spirit, and speak to us through these words, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now Paul's words to the Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, keep standing firm in the Lord, loved ones. I beg you, Euodia, and I beg Syntyche. These are the names of two women in the congregation. I beg you, Euodia, and I beg Syntyche to have the same attitude toward one another in the Lord. I also ask you, true companion, to help these women, for they have worked hard proclaiming the good news with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let everyone see how reasonable and gentle you are. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And then God's peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, focus your thoughts on what is true, honorable, righteous, or pure. Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is morally excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Keep doing what you've learned or received or heard or seen in me. And then the God of peace, who gives peace, will be with you. In the Lord, I greatly rejoice that now, after this long time, you have let your concern for me express itself again. Not that I'm saying this to call attention to any need of mine, since I have learned to be content regardless of circumstances. I know what it is to be in want, and I know what it is to have more than enough. In everything and in every way, I have learned the secret of having abundance and being in need. For I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. Nevertheless, it was good of you to share in my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the early days of my work spreading the good news, not a single congregation shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, only you. Moreover, my God will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth in Christ Jesus. And to God our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want us to do something a little bit different today, and it's going to require you putting on your thinking caps and using your imagination. I want you to imagine that you are the Philippian congregation, and I am Lydia, who was one of the charter members of that church. She was a wealthy woman. She sold expensive cloths. And we learn in the book of Acts that Lydia hosted the church in her home. And so you have now come to my house, and I have welcomed you into my home. We have a letter from the Apostle Paul that I'm going to share with you, a part of it. And then we're going to reflect on what Paul is telling us to do, to be, to think. He's going to give us guidance about our attitudes and our relationships. So are you ready? Can you go back 10,000, 2,000 years? You're from this little congregation in a Roman colony called Philippi. It's a congregation that has worked with Paul diligently, that the Apostle Paul founded, and yet they're having some problems. They're being persecuted by the people around them in their community, and Paul tells them that they're suffering for the gospel. He also notes earlier in his letter that they're struggling. They're really struggling as a congregation. They've got people who are teaching false things, and it's upset the people in the church. And they've also got at least a couple of women who aren't getting along. And these women are leaders, and so Paul wants to address this conflict because it's hindering their witness to the gospel. And so now, let's take the copy of the letter that you have there, and we're going to read through it slowly. And we're going to think about why Paul said these things and how we can respond to them as a little church that's going through a difficult time. And so Paul begins, "My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, keep standing firm in the Lord, loved ones." Now, as you hear those words, what about those words stands out to you? Does anything jump out at you about what Paul is saying to them? You might notice that several times Paul calls them his loved ones, his joy and crowns, his beloved friends. And so, how are you as a congregation feeling as you hear those words from Paul? Thankful, blessed that the Apostle Paul loves you, knows you, is proud of you. But you're also listening to his word, to his command, to keep standing firm in the Lord. Now, why would those words be a good word for the Philippian church? Think about it. They're struggling, right? They've got conflict. They're suffering persecution. They've got people trying to teach false things. And so when Paul says, stand firm, right, not as an individual, stand firm together, united as a church, what he's saying is that you've got to hang tight together. You've got to be united together, because if you start falling away and drifting apart during this hard time, you're not going to make it. Stand firm in the Lord. And once he's told them to stand firm, then he addresses directly the conflict going on between these women. He actually names names. Woo! Can you imagine? You're Euodia and you're Syntyche, and you're sitting in the congregation and they read this letter out loud. Right? Woo! Like, do you want to crawl under the pew? Huh? I beg you, Euodia, and I beg you, Syntyche, to have the same attitude. Get on the same page. Quit fighting. You don't have to agree in the details, but what you do have to do is be together. Show one another the same love, the same respect. Right? Paul's letters are pretty stern with people who cause division in a church. There was no tolerance for it at all. And in this case, Paul is so upset, he flat names names in public in the congregation. But then he doesn't stop there. Listen, you're in that congregation and you know what's been going on with Euodia and Syntyche, right? You've been concerned about it, and some of you have talked about it, but Paul says talking about it's not enough. And so he moves on and says, I ask you, true companion. Now, he's probably addressing a leader in the congregation. He says, help these women. Don't just leave them there to struggle on their own and cause problems in the church. You come alongside them. That's the word for help. You come alongside them, and you work with them, and you talk with them, and you listen to them, and you help them listen to one another, right? So that you can be a part of the healing of your church. And so the Philippians hear that, and they know they've got to take responsibility for everything that happens in the church, they've got to do their part to help and to heal. So then Paul goes on, once he's kind of gotten that out of the way immediately, right? People know it's going on, let's address it and get it done. And then he starts talking about things that are maybe making it hard for them to stand firm together in the Lord. Because when you're suffering and when you're struggling, what tends to happen to us emotionally? Right? We get down in the dumps. That's right. We get down in the dumps. We feel bad. Some of us even engage in self-pity. Or we might want to pull away from the church because it's just hard and I don't want people knowing I'm struggling. Right? And when a church is struggling, when a congregation is struggling, right, you don't want to be a part of it, or you just want to give up and give in. And so Paul comes with this strong word that we just sang. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, at first, we hear those words and we're thinking, you can't command joy, right? Can I just say rejoice? And you go, oh, yippee, right? But what Paul is really saying is find your joy in the Lord. Make a choice that you're going to take your eyes off of all the persecution, off of all the struggles, off of the false teachers, off of the division, and you're going to focus on the Lord. And the Lord is a joyful person, a peace-giving person, a beautiful person. And as we focus on the Lord, then our joy begins to come back when we take our eyes off the hard things and just look at Him and decide, I'm going to find the joy in my life, the delight in my life, in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he keeps going, dealing with other things that might cause them not to stand firm. And so he says, let everyone see how reasonable you are. Wow. Wow. How reasonable. Isn't that nice? And gentle. Right? You're not off on some emotional, crazy tangent. You're thoughtful together. You're reasonable together. You think about things. You think through things together. And you're gentle. Oh, and the Philippians are going, wow, that would really help. You know, if we can pull back a little bit. And then Paul keeps going because the Philippians have a lot to worry about. Right? They could worry that their property, their homes are going to be confiscated. That was one of the forms that persecution took. They could be arrested. They could even be killed or tortured for their faith. There is a lot to worry about for this little congregation. But Paul says, don't worry, right? That's one of the commands that is repeated the most often in Scripture. Don't worry and don't be afraid. And they're not empty words and they're not simplistic words for this reason. That God has promised us that He's with us. He is with us in every situation. And He will take care of us. He has it all under control, even though it doesn't look like it. Even though it might not feel like it. Paul calls us out of the suffering and the struggles and the doubts and the conflict. And says, don't worry about any of it, right? But we always have to replace a negative with a positive. And so the positive is this, instead of fretting and worrying and being anxious, this is what you need to do, Philippians. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer and tell Him. Tell Him everything that's bugging you and weighing you down and causing you to not sleep. causing you to fret and be upset. And when you're writing those things down or praying those things to the Lord, this is what's key. Give thanks to the Lord. Because giving thanks means that you're trusting God to take care of it. Right? As you pray for something that's bothering you, a concern you have for the church, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my church. Thank you that you are able to help Euodia and Syntyche work this out. Thank you that you are able to help us stand firm when false teachers are there. Right? Pray. Give it to God. But give it to God, not just with words, but with faith and with trust in God's love. And then Paul moves on to an incredible passage that would transform our lives and it would transform our church, because Paul sees and knows that when you're going through those kinds of problems, you can get into a negative thought pattern, right? And you start thinking about all the things that are wrong with your life and with your church. And so Paul says, no, no, no. We got to switch the way you think about something, right? Now I'm going to move forward 2,000 years, and Steve could probably tell you about something called cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Because what we're feeling and what we're doing starts cognitively. It starts with the way we think about things. And then the way we think creates certain emotions, and then that leads to certain actions. And so look what Paul tells the Philippian church to think on, to focus their thoughts on. This is thought discipline, mind discipline. Focus your thoughts, brothers and sisters, on what is true. Ah, that's a really good starting place. All right, because most of the problems in churches often come because they're thinking about things that ain't true, right? Things that are false, rumors, etc. Focus your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable, what demands respect and honor, whatever is righteous, that is, it's pleasing to God, whatever is pure and unadulterated by the junk of the world, whatever's lovely, right? A piece of music, a sunset, right? A beautiful sanctuary, beautiful music. Whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, something you can look up to and admire. If anything is morally excellent or praiseworthy, those are the things you need to set your mind on. Wouldn't that change the way we go through the day? Every time we feel negativity coming in, ugly thoughts, untrue thoughts, we turn the light off and we shut the door. And we turn to Paul's words, and as a church, we say, no, we're going to focus on what's true and lovely and admirable and honorable and morally excellent, etc., etc. And then right here at the end of Paul's letter, Paul engages this congregation in sharing with them how appreciative he is for what they've done for him. And so basically what he says in the last section there is, I'm just so thankful for you, Philippians. I'm thankful because you have shared your concern for me, for my ministry, by giving, right? For a while, there were no churches supporting me, just you, Philippians, just you. And I want you to know, that means so much to me, and I am so thankful. And so the Philippian church now is going, well, how can we continue to share our concern? How can we continue to give, right? Give to one another, give love, use our time, use our talents, give our treasure. How can we continue to be engaged with Paul in the ministry and mission of the gospel? Paul has given this little congregation a whole lot to think about, to digest, to talk about. Now, how are we going to go about doing this? Right? How are we going to work on thinking more positively? How are we going to learn to rejoice when things are hard? How are we going to pray and trust that God's going to take care of us so that we're not an anxious congregation? The Philippians had that letter. And you can bet they read it over and over and came back to it in their times together to talk about it and think about it and digest it. But let's zoom forward now over 2,000 years to Palmasola. And God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, is saying the same thing to us. And so we have to ask, in response to Paul's letter, will we as a church stand firm, united, together in the Lord? Will we learn, when there's conflict, to work on having the same attitude toward one another in the Lord? In our relationship with the Lord, will we learn slowly but surely to focus on and find our joy in the Lord, not in the negative things going on around us? This next one's so hard. Will we learn not to be anxious as a church? Right? Not to worry, but to be driven by our concern to prayer, to pray for the church, and to trust God to hear our prayers and work. Will we learn? Will we work on disciplining our thinking so that we begin more and more to focus our thoughts on what is so good here? And so right with God's world, to list the blessings and benefits and strengths of the congregation God has placed us in, and to give thanks for them. And will we, like the Philippians, like the example that Paul notes, will we share our concern for the gospel? For the gospel. By giving to the church, giving to missionaries, giving to outreach, so that God's love may spread among us and through us. Will we? I sure hope so. Amen. I invite you now to stand and sing of the bonds that Paul talked about. Blessed be the tie that binds, verses 1 through 3, number 708 in your hymnal.